You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast.
Hi, my name is Dave. If you're new here, welcome. Welcome. I'm glad you came. Pull my stuff up here for a second. So, anybody here like food? Yeah, who doesn't? Two nights ago, we were out with some friends, and we were talking about what kinds of food we had as a kid. Do you remember the food you grew up with, right? I'm guessing it's not probably the same food that you eat now, right? Maybe some of you are still like, you know, nuggets and mac and cheese. No? Some of you stayed that way, maybe? For me, growing up, food was meatloaf and potatoes. It was fish and corn, sloppy joes and like chips and then like turkey and stuffing, like very traditional sort of bland food. And then we would also go out. I lived in New York growing up as a little kid in Brooklyn, and we would go out to McDonald's and Nathan's hot dogs, and you know, it was always a New York slice of pizza around. And so that was sort of me growing up. And for the most part, the food that I grew up with was just really bland it was good, but it was kind of boring, you know? But the closest we never did like Chinese food or Mexican food or Indian food in my house. We never ventured out of our starches and meats. And the closest we'd get to sort of ethnic food is this thing called Fisca pudding. Anyone heard of Fisca pudding? Blah. It's gross. It is like, if you haven't heard of it, it is. So my family's Swedish, and they would they take like all the leftover fish stuff, and they cram it into a brick-like thing, and they bake it, and then your house smells of vomit for like a week. And then they put this gravy over it as if the gravy is going to make it any better. It's awful. But that's the closest thing we'd get to ethnic food. So, but as an adult, I have discovered how much I love spice. I love Marsala chicken and tacos and Puerto Rican rice, and I love spicy food. My taste buds has evolved. They were formed by being exposed to different foods, through different people and experiences. And food is part of who we've been, part of who we are, and even part of who we're becoming. And I feel like I am like a walking commercial right now for like the Food Network or something. Like I've been watching too many food shows. But if my formation of food stopped at Nathan's hot dogs, I would be dead of a heart attack right now. Like, I have evolved. We've evolved. People, places, things, events shape us and form us. So what's forming you? See that, like that segue, little transition now? Ah, it's pretty good, right? Now you're seeing it. You're like, well, I thought it was a church and we're talking about food, but he's switching it. What is forming you? What people, places, things, events are stepping into, that you're stepping into that are forming who you are? We just finished, as Rebecca said, this sort of first part of our series called Spiritually Formed, and we focused on how we're formed through prayer, and how everything starts with prayer. Everything is birthed out of prayer. Prayer is that communication with God, and today we're going to start with the second part of that series, Spiritually Formed in Relationships, and specifically today we're going to look at relational health. And what I want to do is I want to focus on a book in the Bible called Colossians. And we're going to look at Colossians 3. And what I'm going to do today is I'm going to read verse 1 through 17 all the way through. And then we're going to come back and kind of chunk it out a little bit. Is that cool? Can we do that? All right. So if you have your Bibles or your phones, you can go ahead and pull up Colossians 3. If not, we have it on the screen for you. So since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, I can't read today, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, maybe, right? Scythian, thanks. Slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another. Sorry, man, I'm really struggling today. One another with all wisdom through psalm, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So some background. Paul is writing to the church in Colossae, and the church in Colossae right now is being influenced by a teaching called Gnosticism. And what Gnosticism is, it is this sort of teaching that they de-emphasize the importance of your physical body, okay? And they also sort of deny the humanity of Christ and emphasize this importance of secret knowledge, okay? Esoteric knowledge that you have to get to heaven, to have salvation. And so Paul is addressing this. Now, in the earlier chapters of Colossians, which we're not going to cover today, Paul focuses on the absolute supremacy of Jesus and his suffering, that salvation is through him and that Jesus is enough. That's what he focuses on in the first two chapters. Jesus is enough, okay? Not this secret knowledge. Today, we're primarily going to look at Colossians 3, and we're going to pick apart kind of Paul's central thing, his focus is on Jesus, that Jesus is the center of the world and the universe that we are in, and as the all-sufficient reference point for the lives that we're called to live in God. So now Paul, the only way that we can understand anything properly in his view is that we must have Jesus at the center. Jesus must be at the center or it doesn't work. The whole sort of wheel, if you will, wobbles, right? Jesus has to be the axle. He has to hold it together. This holds true for the way we conduct our relationships with other people, right? And that's what we're going to look at today is our relationships. And I want to look at three points of a relationship. And Paul begins to outline the plan he has in mind with chapter 3, and the plan involves three basic reference points. For Paul, we have to keep in view not only ourselves, but to the outside reference points that we're going, ourselves, that we are going to be relationally well or moving towards, and we have to pay attention to all the other points out there as well. It's sort of like surveying or trigonometry, right? Anyone remember trigonometry? Oh, right? Yeah, some of you are groaning. Some of you are like, yeah, let's do trigonometry today in church. Three points of reference, okay? And in order to be relate to each other, if you want to understand your own position, you need to know outside reference points, right? So if you're just one point floating in space by yourself, you have no reference of where you are and what is happening, right? If you are a point in space, you've got nothing to compare it to. But maybe you're two points in space, you're a line. But even that doesn't give you accurate information about where you are and what you're doing. It's just between you and that other point. So Paul talks about three important reference points that without, we can't understand how we are situated relationally. So the first point is Jesus. The first point is Jesus. Jesus is the center point. He said in verses 1 through 4, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." It's easy to say that idea, by the way, but how do we actually practice it? Yeah, Jesus is the center. I got it, okay? How do we walk it out? How do you actually walk? What does it actually look like every day? So he gives us a little hint. In verses 15 and 16, Paul says, "Let the peace of Christ rule, remember that word, in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through the psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." Now that word rule, I would like to call that referee. Okay, we could translate that referee. Now, to be honest with you, in Greek, that word actually means judge of an athletic competition. So I think I'm not far off when I say referee. Now, some of you may think, okay, so you're saying Jesus is a referee. Many of you have sort of bad pictures of a referee, and you think about your sports teams. Maybe there's a bad call against the Green Bay Packers, and you're screaming at the TV. I'm not saying that ever happened to you at all, but you often complain about referees, and they don't know what they're doing, and they're terrible at what they're doing. But have you ever seen a good one? How many of you have gone to some youth sports lately? Now, I know they're not good there either. But have you ever seen a good youth sports referee? I've spent a lot of time in youth sports, and I'll tell you, there's a few referees that I've watched. They know the rules really, really well. And they have control of the game, and they're letting kids play. But you know what else they're doing? They're teaching along the way. They're not only just blowing their whistle. They're saying, hey, just so you know, you stepped out of bounds here. You got to make sure you don't step out of bounds. And they're giving pointers. They're almost like an extra coach on the field. And they're guiding and correcting and teaching all at the same time. That's what I picture when I picture Jesus as the referee. It's not Jesus coming and making, you know, blowing the whistle in my face and yelling at me that I did something wrong in the game. It's Jesus saying, I'm helping me understand the rules and guiding me through the process. Christ is the referee and the Bible's the rule book. What kind of referee is it? He is a kind referee. He's a kind referee. He's watching. He's watching. He's teaching. He's encouraging along the way. For some of you, you maybe have never really thought about paying much attention to Jesus and never actually brought him in as the most important point of your sort of triangle relationship that we're going to talk about today. Some of you haven't put Jesus at the center, haven't looked at him as a referee, as a guide. And some of us have, and we still struggle with some things. So for me, I've been told that I can get very passionate and sometimes I get a little angry and I will raise my voice loudly. I know it's really hard to believe, but I've been told that for sometimes I have this issue that I think I've made some serious progress on. You can talk to Rebecca and my children later, but I feel like I've made a lot of progress and a lot of gains, but I often will get loud and I'll get aggressive and when I'm not being heard, or I'm not being validated or appreciated or valued, or I'm feeling defensive, I get louder, right? And so practically what hits me is how I should actually really show up as someone who has Jesus as my center is how I was created actually to be. And I started getting prompted these questions by my Jesus referee, you know, is your identity, what's identity is getting triggered right here? Why am I showing up this way? Is something being triggered in me that's causing this reaction? I had to first pay attention to Jesus. I also have to pay attention to myself. See, that's the second point, is myself. I have to pay attention to myself. For it's true that to be relationally well, we must also pay close attention to you, to me, to yourself. In Colossians in verse 5 through 8, he said, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. So Paul is calling us to basically be executioners of our old self. Now, you see, if Jesus is your center, the more you get to know him, the more you're being formed by his love, the more you will have a desire to put those remnants of your old self to death. We have to kill sort of our immorality, our uncleanliness of spirit, our reckless passions, evil desires, greed. But in order to put them to death, we have to know that they're there. We have to know that they're actually there. We have to actually be able to identify them. That means we have to look inward a little bit. Putting to death doesn't sound fun, my old self, and it's not. I worked really hard on my old self, right? But I have to work through that with Jesus. He starts to tell me and point out things in my old self that I might not even been aware of. Something that can help you with some of this that we're talking about is some of you have gone through what we call emotionally focused. It's a course you can take. It's a weekend course, is the first sort of introductory course, and then there's some other things to follow. There's actually one being offered that we wanted to make you aware of today, Emotionally Focused Foundations. It's happening Friday and Saturday, December 2nd and 3rd, which is coming up. Believe it or not, it's not that far away. And that's happening at the Vineyard Church in Grafton. And if you're all interested in that, you can register online at the Vineyard Grafton Church's website, and you can also just talk to me, and we can point you in the right direction. But it's a great place, a great start for you to look at internally, like allow Jesus gently point out some of the things that need to be executed from your life, that need to be rid, and then have Jesus just speak into that and heal it. Paul says that we actually need to be aware of these things, to pay attention to them. And when we find them, we are to strip them off like old garments, as if they're like burning clothes that we can't remove fast enough. We need to put take them off. So when I feel that my voice is starting to boil up inside of me and I am aware that something is not right for me, I recognize it. When you feel isolated and because you've removed yourself out of shame and you've removed yourself from healthy community, something may be off. Or maybe you find yourself hiding truth, or maybe you're stepping into old habits, or you need to pull your burning garments off with Jesus. Some days, if you're looking for me, just follow the path of burning garments. Jesus is doing a work, right? We're never done. We're always in process. And some of these behaviors that I have, and maybe you have, they're damaging your relationships. Do you know what they are? Do you know, maybe right now as we sit here, what behaviors that you currently struggle with that are damning your relationships? We all have them. And if you're not sure, would encourage you to ask Jesus to highlight those. God loves us, and it's part of his love to show us what injures us and injures the relationships of our lives. But the bottom line is that clearly we need to be walking to take a good look, an honest look at ourselves. The third thing we need to look at is we also must pay close attention to others. In verse 9 through 14, Paul said, "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." The relationships that he mentions first and spends the most time in that chunk of verse is our relationships in the church. In the church. He addresses those relationships before he addresses family, work relationships, or other relationships. Somehow in God's economy, the relationships that we have in the core spiritual community, that is the church, is absolutely foundational. It's essential. Our relationships with our core community right here in this room, and if you're part of our community, you're listening online, these are so important. It's crucial. If we're going to find ourselves growing in our relationship, relational wellness, we have to start here. I'm going to walk with these people to do the hard work of growing as a disciple of Jesus. That's what we do as the church. Church, if we can't figure out how to do this well with each other, we can't do it well with people outside this room. We have to figure out how to do it well together. Paying attention to relationship is not a one-size-fits-all either. That's the way that God is calling us to love each other, is we have to look at everyone individually. The way I interact with you is going to be different than the way I interact with Rebecca or John or Dennis. It's going to be different. We're all different. Everyone's different. They have different life experiences, different emotional makeups, different inclinations, loves, all different things. People are different. This means that we actually need to listen and pay attention to other people. Be present with people and understand what our impact is with people. Have you ever had to do that? Have you ever had to sit with someone and you know you screwed up, right? You know you screwed up and you have to clean up your mess. And oftentimes when we clean up our mess, we want to get through it really quickly, right? I screwed up. Sorry. Move on, right? We want to get done, get this over. Let's move on. Let's get back to normal, right? But have you ever said you're sorry and then you actually are present to listen to the impact of your actions and understand how that affected the person? It's really powerful. It hurts a little bit, but it helps me understand that other person a lot better because I'm present. I'm present to what they're experiencing too, based upon what I have done. Relational wellness looks more like a triangle. Looks more like a triangle. God, me, and others. A simple way to sort of remember this, because we don't want to just talk about this, church. We actually want to be spiritually formed with healthy relationships. We really want to do this. And so a helpful reminder as you walk through your day, and if you've been around me at all, you've heard me talk about horizontal and vertical relationships, right? And I would add to it me. Horizontal, vertical, and me, right? So in practical terms, I like to think of that. I'm visual. So this sort of framework of relationship, horizontal, vertical, and me. I have to be vertical with Jesus. I have to have a relationship with Jesus. I have to have horizontal relationships with all of you. And I have to actually look inside and have a relationship with myself too. And the way we can do this, the way we can have relational wellness, first thing, three quick things. First is it requires perseverance. Perseverance. It requires you to actually be, practice intimacy with someone. Authentic relationship is not automatic. It takes time. Real relationship requires you to sit and resolve issues, resolve conflict. You have to persevere through that. You have to experience cleaning up your mess with other people and sitting in your impact and be willing to play the long game with relationships. Community costs. You have to be willing to pay the costs and be in it for the long haul. The second thing is relational wellness requires truth. Truth. You know, this is another thing that we need to actually work at. You can't lie to one another. You can't make things up. There's nothing that undermines relational fitness more than a lie. Share real things about your life. Have real, honest conversations. True conversations with other people before God is one of the most sacred and beautiful and significant things that we can do. True, authentic conversations. And the third thing for relational wellness requires you to be present. It's your presence. It's to actually really sit down and care about the person that is across from you and truly engage in what they are saying. It means you put down your electronic device. It means you turn the TV off. That means whatever task you're doing at that time, you're willing to put it down and just be fully present. Fully present with the person who is horizontal and Jesus who is vertical. We're called to be people who are present. Let's stand.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.